Well, good morning. I know Chris just prayed, but I think it's always good to start with prayer. So will you pray with me again? Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come this morning to learn from your word so that we would worship you with a deeper love and reverence. We pray for humble, teachable hearts for each one of us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through every word spoken. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start and begin with giving you a picture. Pictures help me remember things. I want you to imagine a woman standing on a beach holding a cup. She's looking out at the ocean, and she's thirsty. And she thinks to herself that if she takes a drink, it will satisfy her thirst. Now, the loving thing to do would be to stop her, because we know that if she drinks the seawater, she'll not only be thirstier than when she first took a drink, but if she continues to drink it, it'll eventually kill her. Now, we know that the ocean is good, it's beneficial, it provides life for fish, we can swim in it, if you're not scared of sharks. It's beautiful to look at. The ocean has many good purposes, but it was never meant to satisfy thirst. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Another translation says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, for those of you who've taken Wellspring before, you know that that is our theme verse. The purpose of Wellspring is to equip and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their hearts toward Jesus Christ with the Word of God so that we can live gospel-transformed lives, thus strengthening the church in its gospel purpose. We live in a fallen and broken world. Not that that's a surprise. Our hearts can grow weary and we can become thirsty. Our culture will offer us many things, even good things, that claim to satisfy our thirst. However, the faithful woman of God will shepherd her heart toward God through the Word of God, especially the gospel. Trying to shepherd our hearts or satisfy our thirst with anything other than the Word of God will only leave us thirstier still. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you." The faithful woman of God is also concerned for those in her home and ministers to them with her heart fixed on God and His Word. Keeping her God-given ministry in her home a priority, she steps into the church and every part of life to shepherd others towards God and the gospel. As we head into the busy holiday season, there will undoubtedly be many opportunities to step into the lives of others. We can quickly grow tired and weary. It's easy to become consumed with the busyness and skip over guarding our hearts by spending time in God's Word. Society will tell us that there are many things that will satisfy our weary and thirsty hearts. Just like the ocean, which is good for lots of things, was never meant to satisfy thirst, none of God's good gifts were given to satisfy our thirsty hearts. Only one good gift that God gives is meant to satisfy our hearts, and that is God Himself. John 7:37-38 says, "Jesus stood up, cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" May we all be diligent to come and drink from the only one who can truly satisfy our thirsty hearts. Let's pray. Lord, you are sovereign and good and merciful. For while we were dead in our sin and storing up wrath for ourselves, you redeemed us, a people to be zealous for good deeds. Lord, I pray that we would come to you and let your word richly dwell within us, so that we would make it our aim to honor you in all that we do. It's in your great name that we pray. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Julie. That was so helpful. And what an introduction to the lesson this morning. I love hearing the disciplines from... Sorry, I just changed my password and I can't remember what it is. There we go, I think. Sorry. I just love hearing the disciplines from different women. It just really helps me to be able to think of different ways and see the need that I have for shepherding my heart. So thank you, Julie, for working through that with us. So the passage that we're going to look at this morning will also help us to grow in our understanding of Discipline 1 and its interconnectedness with Disciplines 2 and 3, showing us that we must never neglect to bring our hearts to the Word of God and to remember His truths as we shepherd our hearts throughout our day. So would you turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 10? We're going to look at verses 38 through 42 and observe the lives of two women in order to learn more about the importance and the blessing of shepherding our own hearts and the danger that we face when we neglect to do so. So let's go ahead and read our passage together, starting in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So as we look into the lives of these two women this morning and consider Jesus' words to them, we will find that his words reveal much to us about our own hearts and what it means to be a godly servant and what will distract us from God-honoring service. But I want to begin, first of all, by looking at what this passage is not about, because I think it will help us clarify Jesus' intent in this passage and not minimize what it has to reveal to us about our own hearts. So the first thing is that I want us to acknowledge is that this passage is not about differing personalities or gifting, okay? That is not what Jesus is addressing here. And the fact that Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, does not mean that she was unwilling to serve. And the point of this passage is not to help us to learn how to become balanced between Martha-type ministry and Mary-type solitude. And it is not that we should be unconcerned with serving. Rather, in this passage, Jesus focuses on the choices we make and the heart behind those choices. We see this clearly in verse 42. Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good part, and the implication is that Martha had not. So let's look closer at these sisters and see what we learn from them. So in this family, Martha is the older sister and Mary is the younger. They had a brother, Lazarus, who would soon die and be brought back to life again by Jesus. In fact, many commentators believe that Jesus, in his interaction with these sisters here in Luke 10, that he was actually preparing them for that trial that they would very soon face. So this family lived in Bethany, which was only a couple miles from Jerusalem. And so it's very likely that Mary and Martha were two of the many people who had heard about Jesus' teaching very early on in his ministry. Both Luke and John recorded that Jesus enjoyed hospitality in their home on at least three occasions. And John made it a point to record that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And we see evidence of that love that Jesus had for them in his loving words as he speaks, particularly to Martha. And so this morning, we want to look very carefully at the words that Jesus speaks to Martha as well as to Mary, and why they needed to be spoken. Because it is his words that will strengthen us in our service and will reveal to us the things that will distract us from a service that brings honor to him. So let's look at verse 38. In this verse, we see a heart to serve, and you'll see that on your outline. Let me read again verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he, obviously speaking of Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And we get the impression from this short passage that Jesus knew this family in Bethany well. Jesus met Martha somewhere in the village. Most likely it was in the marketplace, as Martha was gathering things for the day that were needed. And we are introduced to Martha with these words. Martha welcomed him into her home. It was Martha who welcomed Jesus into their home. And the idea is that she immediately welcomed him when she saw him. Now, these words imply a great deal. There is a sense of eagerness in Martha's desire to have Jesus in her home. Do you see Martha's good intentions? She has a good desire. She wanted to serve Jesus by preparing a meal for him and providing a place for him to stay. And most likely that meant for those who were traveling with Jesus as well. So this is a good thing. The idea of being welcomed here indicates that she received Jesus into her home for the purpose of showing hospitality and kindness to him. It communicates that she wanted to shower him with kindness as she met his needs. She saw a need and she wanted to meet it. It is evident that Martha loved Jesus. And yet, there is a great warning in this passage. We can have the best of intentions to serve and to extend kindness to those in our homes, to those that we invite into our homes. In fact, our intention can be to glorify God in our serving. But good intentions do not guarantee a good outcome. We must not be deceived into thinking that good intentions are all that is required, because we all have the potential to undo our good intentions if we are not careful to watch over our hearts as we serve others. We must guard against this undoing by choosing the one thing that Jesus said is necessary. So let's look at Mary and learn more about her choice. We see in Mary a heart engaged. That's number two on your outline. Look at verse 39. She, obviously speaking of Martha, had a sister called Mary. Did you catch the simplicity of what we're told about Mary? Martha had a sister called Mary. That's all the information that is needed for the setting of this passage. Now, there's a reason for that. The simplicity of this introduction of Mary places all of the weight on the action that follows. Anything else that could have been said about her would have been of small importance in comparison with the one thing that we are to take note of. It was what she was doing. She was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to to his words. This sister sat at the feet of Jesus. Mary desired to be with Jesus. She was taking full advantage of the opportunity that she had to take in his words. Now, there is no indication in this passage that this action is considered idle or unwarranted. In fact, we find from Jesus' words the exact opposite. Even though, as a woman, Mary had every cultural reason not to be seated at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. In fact, culturally, she had every reason to be with Martha instead, because a woman serving a rabbi in that day was her common role. It was her acceptable role. This is what would have been expected. But here we find Mary assuming and preferring the role of a pupil, a student, a disciple under the teaching of Jesus. Now that was very unusual in this culture. And it helps us understand her strong desire to be with Jesus, taking in his words. Now, notice that this action on the part of Mary is the only action that we read about in this passage. And yet, it is the main point of the passage. Mary understood the priority and the privilege of being with Jesus. This was a woman who was disciplined in turning her heart toward Jesus in order to take in his words, because his word revealed more of him to her. This takes purposeful choice. She chooses to be free from distractions, even the good distractions, in order to choose the best. Mary understood that nearness to Jesus was her good. She was very intentional in her choice. And we must learn to be intentional in choosing to be near to Jesus as we take in his word and as we allow it to affect our hearts. This will happen when we, like Mary, understand the treasure we find in knowing him. Now, let's compare this with Martha. We see in verse 40, a heart distracted. It's number 3 on your outline. Verse 40 begins with, "But Martha." Now we know when we see that word, "but," that there is a contrast coming. We just read of Mary seated at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was distracted. Now that word distracted means to be pulled away. Martha had become so overoccupied with her preparations to serve Jesus that she actually allowed her preparations to draw her away from him. Now the word distracted is passive. It's a passive verb, meaning that she didn't fight against it. Martha did not bring herself to sit at the feet of Jesus because she allowed herself to be distracted by her service to him. Instead of keeping the focus that she seemed to have in verse 38 when she welcomed Jesus into her home to show kindness to him and lovingly serve him, she allowed herself to be pulled away from Jesus. In addition, Jesus described Martha in verse 41 as worried and bothered. To be worried means to be anxious or to be troubled about something. It's fretting. It's the idea of brooding. And bothered is the word turbazo. It's the same word from which we get our English word turbulent. So that ought to give us a good picture of what's going on inside of Martha's heart. Martha was troubled and all stirred up, and she is visibly showing agitation. Worried here shows us that there is an inward fretting, while bothered shows us that there is an outward agitation. And what is it that has Martha so distracted and worried and bothered? Let's look again at verse 40. It tells us, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations." Now, I want to make sure that we understand that it was not wrong for Martha to serve Jesus. Her preparations began out of her love for him. It wasn't wrong for Martha to serve. And it's not wrong for us to serve. That's not the point of this passage. Serving and working hard in service is good. In the early church, women are known for their service. Paul in Romans 16, 12, 1 and 2 commends Phoebe, who was a servant and a helper in the church, as well as to Paul personally. In verse 3, Paul refers to Priscilla as his fellow worker in Christ Jesus. And in Acts 16, 14 and 15, it tells us that Lydia opened up her home and extended hospitality to Paul and to the church. And in Luke 4:39, we find that immediately after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, she got up and she waited on them. She served them. These women are not in any way rebuked for their service. So this passage is certainly not telling us that we should neglect extending kindness in serving others. In fact, look up just a few verses, starting in verse 33, right before this passage. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus has just taught us that we are to love others by our actions, by serving our neighbor. Serving reflects the image of God. We were created to bear that image as one who serves. So a strong desire to meet a need was not Martha's problem, and it's not our problem. That's not what spoils our service. What spoiled Martha's service was a heart that was not anchored and steadied and fixed and engaged on Jesus and his words. Martha neglected to see that Jesus' words would have benefited her serving. Instead, we see in Martha a heart that was distracted and swept away from Jesus by her preparations. Look again at verse 40. We're told that Martha was distracted by all her preparations. This means that she was distracted by much service. Jesus said to her in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Now we all know that we can miss the heart of serving our families and others by being lazy, but we can also miss the right heart of service by being distracted and thinking that our service is more important than focusing our minds and our hearts on Jesus himself. When our hearts are swept away by our service and we are not anchored to Jesus, that is when we lose our focus on what truly matters. This is what happened to Martha. Martha was distracted by her serving, and in doing so, she totally missed what was necessary. She missed the good part. She missed the opportunity to learn from the one that she was trying to serve. Again, Jesus did not rebuke Martha for serving, but for allowing her mind and her heart to become distracted and drawn away to things that for that moment were unimportant by comparison to what Jesus had for her, to learn from him. And we, like Martha, may very well become distracted and worried and bothered by an inaccurate view of what is most important and what is necessary in any given moment. There are many things that can tempt us to this same sinful distraction and worry. We can become distracted when we're trying to please man rather than God, when we are concerned with what people think about our service to the point where we are distracted, pulled away from the one that we are ultimately wanting to serve. Proverbs 29:25 calls this the fear of man. And it tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. It easily ensnares us to the same kind of turmoil that we see in Martha. We can become prone to distraction when we are self-focused, when we want things done our way and in our timing. We are also susceptible to sinful distraction when we are excessively concerned with what others are doing, or perhaps what they are not doing, maybe to the point of judging them or being embittered to them. This happens when we are not fixing our eyes on Jesus and the privilege of knowing Him and serving Him and finding our greatest joy in Him. We must guard against becoming more concerned about what we get done than how we get it done. And we must guard against the temptation to use intimidation or manipulation or nagging, because getting something done becomes more important than being like Christ in that moment. Ladies, if we desire to grow in grace, to grow in holiness of life, we must guard our hearts so that we are not carried away by the things that take our focus off of Jesus, our Savior. When we neglect to guard our hearts, but rather allow them to become distracted and swept away from Jesus, that is when we miss out on what Jesus calls the good part. When we do, rather than displaying our love for Jesus, our service becomes a display of our misplaced priorities, and serving becomes a burden rather than a joy. Working hard in service is not wrong. Jesus never told Martha that her serving was meaningless. Rather, Jesus knew that Martha needed to see that her heart was being swept away from Him. So let's think. Whose choice was this distracted and worried and bothered heart? There is no one Martha could blame but herself. By not fighting against it, she chose to be distracted. And ladies, we all have that same choice. We must realize that when our hearts hold weakly to Christ, it is because we choose it to be this way. Martha chose to have a distracted and worried and bothered heart. And it didn't stay confined within Martha. Her sinful distraction bore bitter fruit. Let's look further at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Him. Now, remember what Jesus was doing. He was teaching. And Martha came up to Him to make her appeal. Martha was deceived into thinking that she had made the better choice. And it seems that Martha assumed that Jesus would have the same evaluation of the situation that she did once she was able to point it out to Him. When our hearts are not fixed on God and His Word, it's so easy to be blinded by our own sin, isn't it? And so Martha, in thinking that her actions were justified, interrupted Jesus as He was teaching. And what was on Martha's mind? Let's finish reading the verse. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." It seems that Martha was looking for someone to blame. That's the bitter fruit we see. First, she found fault with Jesus. Listen again to her words. "Lord, do you not care?" She accused Jesus of being insensitive to her. Now let's think about that. Jesus, at this point in His ministry, was on His way to Jerusalem. In about 4 months, He would be hanging on a cross. And Martha, in her self-centeredness, asks Him, "Do you not care?" She blamed him for not caring enough about her to send Mary back to help her in her preparations. Martha found fault with Jesus because he allowed Mary to sit at his feet and learn from him. And Martha didn't stop with blaming Jesus. She also reproached Mary for abandoning her when she said, "My sister has left me to do all the serving alone." It is evident by her words and actions that Martha's heart was not set on being near to Jesus in this moment, that she didn't see that her choice was not the right choice. In this moment, all she could see was what she thought was wrong with all of those around her. Now, we can't read this passage and separate ourselves from it. We are all capable of this same kind of blame shifting. Martha's words and actions show us how subtly and sinfully pride can corrupt even the best of our intentions. What a great reminder this is of how much our hearts need shepherding throughout our day. Because like Martha, we can easily allow ourselves in any given moment to become distracted, stirred up in our minds, and carried away in our emotions, and allow our desires to turn into demands. And when we choose this, we sin right in the middle of our service. And if our hearts are left unshepherded, we may find ourselves looking for excuses and even assuming that we know others' motives and making accusations against others and even toward God. We see the same accusation in Mark 4. In verses 35 and 36, we're told that it was evening and it was getting dark. And Jesus had just gotten out of the boat, got into the boat with his disciples. And in verse 37, it says, "And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And Jesus said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Did you hear their accusation? Jesus, don't you care? How quickly we can draw wrong conclusions about God's character based on our circumstances, rather than on the truth revealed in his word, can't we? This accusation revealed the disciples' hearts just as it revealed Martha's heart, and often it reveals our hearts. There is a great warning here. Our hearts can so easily become self-centered, so focused on ourselves at the very moment that we need to be focusing on and trusting in Jesus. It shows us how critical it is for us to be soaking in his word so that we don't forget him throughout our day, so that our thoughts, our responses, our hearts reflect what is true about him. Look again at verse 40. "When Martha said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?' It shows us her greatest concern in that moment. She was concerned with one thing, that she was left alone in her excessive service. From Martha's perspective, Mary had deserted her. And there's something else that Martha's words reveal. When she said to Jesus, 'Do you not care that my sister has left me?' she was indicating that Mary had been serving with her. But Mary, unlike Martha, knew what part of serving was necessary and then was willing to stop in order to be with Jesus. Mary understood the right priority. She had prepared what was necessary, but then left her serving to listen to Jesus' teaching. But meanwhile, it seems that Martha felt entitled to Mary's help. Martha couldn't see that Mary left for the right reason, the good reason that Jesus talks about. And we see that in her words to Jesus when she said, "Then tell her to help me." Martha told Jesus what to do. At this point, it seems that Martha had become convinced that Mary should be serving her rather than to be with Jesus. Again, her desire had become a demand. You see the pride in this? It seems that Martha thought she knew what was best for everyone. And just like Martha, our sinful pride can make us susceptible to judgment and to all kinds of evil, to anger, resentment, jealousy, a critical spirit, and unkindness. How easy it is for us to get caught up in our own whirlwind of things to do, even to the point where we forget who we are, His servants, and we can forget how needy we are of Him. And when we do, we lose sight that it is His strength and His words which help us to persevere in our service, and that He is the only one who gives us wisdom to know what is truly important. Being with Jesus shapes our heart attitude so that we are willing to acknowledge and repent of our pride and put aside the things that are not necessary so that our serving will bring Him honor. Let's look at one last bitter fruit that we see in Martha's sinfully distracted heart. We see it in Jesus' words to her in verse 42. Let me go back to verse 41. Let me start reading there. "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Jesus' words show us what Mary had chosen was necessary because it had eternal value. But Jesus' words also reveal something else that was going on inside of Martha. They reveal Martha's bitterness over Mary's choice. Martha was deceived into thinking that her distracted service was most important, and she began to resent her sister's wholehearted eagerness to receive instruction from Jesus because it left her alone in her distracted service. And just like Martha, our service can never be pleasing to the Lord when it comes from a heart that is self-centered. Jesus knew that Martha's heart was not right in this moment. Now again, there's no doubt that Martha loved Jesus, but her misguided idea of what it meant to serve Him needed to be exposed so that she could repent. And Jesus was faithful to do that. Let's look at what Jesus said to Martha to expose her sin, to expose her mistaken idea of what it meant to serve Him. We see in verses 41 and 42, a heart set right. It's number 4 on your outline. Verse 41 says, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" We see Jesus' tender mercy toward Martha. Jesus didn't dismiss her when she interrupted Him. He stopped and He addresses her concern and her sin. Like a tender parent, Jesus corrected Martha's wrong thinking when He gave her the gentle rebuke that she needed. "Martha, Martha. The repetition of Martha's name by Jesus shows us his love for her. It is intended to bring her back gently. There is a sense of tender affection and grace in Jesus' words, in his concern for her. She needed to be lovingly, yet firmly rebuked, because she had failed to choose the one thing that was necessary. Proverbs 27:6 tells us, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Jesus' words are the balm that Martha needed. She needed to see that her heart was distracted and worried and bothered. She needed to see that she was unwilling to look within her own heart to see her own sin in this moment. That in only looking outside of herself, she had been making an inaccurate diagnosis of what she sensed was wrong with those around her. Whenever we criticize others and we pity ourselves because we feel burdened by our service, we must stop and take time to examine our own hearts. Perhaps in all of our busyness, we've been ignoring the Lord by not taking in his life-giving word. Again, Martha's problem was not that she had too much work to do. Rather, her problem was that she had allowed her work to distract her and to pull her away from Jesus. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then there is something terribly wrong with our service. There is something terribly wrong with our hearts. Jesus knew Martha needed to understand that her motive in serving was no longer pure. Who had become the focal point of Martha's service at this point? She had. Therefore, Jesus was not honored by Martha's service, and he had no intention of defending it. Jesus knew what Martha needed. He knew that there was only one thing needed. One thing. It was what Mary had chosen, to sit at the feet of Jesus in order to take in his words. And we must choose this same thing that Jesus tells us is necessary, to feast on his word. Now, you may wonder, did Martha heed Jesus' loving yet gentle rebuke? Well, we don't know exactly, but in your homework, you looked up John 12, and you might have noticed in this passage that just 6 days before Jesus went to the cross, we find him in Bethany, once again eating supper, and it says that Martha was serving. Did you notice what it doesn't say? There's no rebuke, no account of her interrupting Jesus, just serving him. And so I think we have reason to at least hope that Martha's heart attitude had changed. And that gives us great hope, doesn't it? It reminds us of the faithfulness of our great shepherd. And then in verse 42, we see a heart that feasts. That's number 5 on your outline. The rest of Jesus' response commends Mary's choice when he said, "But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." She had chosen the one thing that truly mattered. Instead of choosing to become distracted and allowing her heart to become divided, Mary chose the one thing that ended all distractions and division of heart. She had chosen the good part. She chose to be near to Jesus in order to take in his words. And we, too, must discipline ourselves to that. It is a choice we make. Mary was intentional in what she chose. And if we are to choose what Jesus said is the good part, we have to plan for it. It is a commitment of time and effort. If we are to have this one thing that is necessary, then we may have to reevaluate our schedules and our priorities and make whatever changes are necessary so that we have room for this choice. Have you ever noticed that we don't have to plan for our hearts to drift? That just happens if we do nothing. But we do have to plan to meet with Jesus in His Word. We don't have to plan for self-importance that would keep us away from the Word, right? That just happens if we do nothing. But we do have to plan for Jesus' importance to increase in our lives. In the midst of Mary's service, she chose something that led her from her service in order to improve her service. Certainly, her time at Jesus' feet, taking in His words, would have changed how she would have stepped back into her preparations along with her sister. How her service would have been better. How Martha would have been ministered to by a woman whose heart had been near to Jesus. The whole atmosphere of her service had the potential of being infused by the aroma of Christ. Do you see the important lesson in this for us? As His servants, we must be very wise in the use of our time in order to get our hearts ready to serve others, whether in our homes or outside of our homes. And we do that by taking in His Word, by being near to our Savior, so that we can enter back into our service with a heart that is refreshed and prepared to serve, relying on God's grace with a service that is honoring to Him. What we do with our hearts every morning or during nap time or whenever it is that you put aside time to spend with God in His Word, and as we shepherd our hearts throughout the day, coming before Him with a submissive heart, will have more of an impact on our service, in our homes, in our small groups, in the way that we serve on Sunday mornings, in our schools, in our jobs, wherever you find yourself serving, than anything else that we might do. This is the choice that we make continually. We all can be distracted by so many things. Excessive service can be a temptation in any area of our lives. Extending care to those in our home is right, but allowing that care to distract us from spending time with God in His Word is not choosing what Jesus called the one thing necessary. Spurgeon once said, "You are not losing time when you are feeding your soul." Martha became interested in accomplishing, while Mary's focus stayed on a person. She was consumed with Christ. She chose to feast on His Word. Mary saw Jesus for who He was. Therefore, she disciplined herself to make the choice to be near her portion. Listen to some of the Psalms that describe God as our portion. Hear the hope that the psalmist finds in knowing God in this way. Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 142:5, "I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." And in Psalm 119:57, it says, "The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep Your words. I sought Your favor with all my heart." To be close to God and to have Him as one's portion is to have a heart that is teachable and eager to learn. This is the single-mindedness that we see in Mary. We sense her wholehearted love for her Savior, that nothing could tear her away from Him. Mary chose what would benefit her heart and would ultimately benefit those around her. When we, like Mary, choose this treasure, we will never be disappointed. That is a treasure that will never be taken away from us. And how do we know that? We have the privilege of being able to look back on the cross and all that Jesus accomplished there. And we need to remember that in light of this passage. Listen to all that we have been warned against. We've been warned that good intentions don't guarantee a good outcome. We've seen that we can easily allow our hearts to become distracted and anxious and bothered when we are not attentive to constantly shepherd our hearts back to Jesus. We saw that we can easily misjudge what is actually necessary for our service. And that when we do, we can so quickly allow that to lead us down a path of sinful distraction so that we miss the very one that we are ultimately serving. And we saw that we can also allow other things to distract us from a heart fixed on Jesus. The fear of man, or selfishness, or misplaced priorities. And we were warned that if our hearts are carried away like Martha's was, it is because of our own choice to hold weakly to Christ. And we also saw the sinfully distracted heart bears bitter fruit, blaming, self-centeredness, an attitude of entitlement, pride, judgment, and bitterness, and all the while being blind to the very dangerous place our heart has wandered. We can so easily sin against those closest to us, right in the middle of serving them. And so we need to heed these warnings. We need to repent where God exposes sin. And we need to remember that in the midst of conviction, that we can always find encouragement. There is always hope. Jesus knew that we would be women just like Martha, who needed to be forgiven and cleansed and made new in him. And so he died and rose again for us. And we need to remember that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We see that in how gently Jesus restored Martha. Jesus told Martha that she was worried and bothered about so many things. And you and I get worried about so many things. And so we can rejoice that Christ died for our sinfully worried and bothered hearts. And remember that if we are in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sinful worry and distraction or any of its bitter fruits, but that we now have the ability to say no to sin because we are slaves to Christ. So we can diligently pursue holiness of life. And so even when we do find ourselves having become distracted, we can flee right back to our Master Jesus. And we can cry out and we can confess to him that we need him, that he will be faithful to help us to reorder our priorities and our hearts. I want to end this morning with a quote from Ryle's commentary on Luke. He wrote, "Mary chose what was for the benefit of her soul. She was seeking more grace. She was striving after closer communion with God and his Christ. This was the portion which she preferred to everything else and to which she was willing for a time to postpone all earthly care. Those who seek such a portion will never be disappointed. Their treasure will never be taken away." Will you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for your word. Thank you for the warnings that you give to us that help us to keep our hearts near to you. We do know that we can all easily allow our hearts to become distracted, anxious, and worried and bothered when we are not attentive to constantly shepherding our hearts back to you. We're so easily led down a path of sinful distraction as we serve others. And Father, when we do that, we miss you, the very one that we ultimately want to serve. And so, Father, we plead with you this morning to help us as we enter into this busy season of the year. We ask for your help, that you would help us to remember how much we need you, how much we need your wisdom. I pray that we will be consistent in seeking you in your word, and that our time with you will impact the way that we serve others, so that you will be glorified in our service. And we pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.